we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here.
On this computer. All right, baby, we're here with Dave Wright, co-host of Duck It Dialogue. We're going to have Cody Marshall on here in a minute. He's having some technical difficulties. But we've had a pretty eventful weekend here. What did we do this weekend, Dave?
Best Jewish wedding anybody's ever been to. The wedding of Dr. Michael Weinstein and Megan Weinstein.
Oh, Weinstein now. That's right. I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, and she's a right, too.
Yeah, so she's your long-lost sibling.
Yeah. So it's we're in.
Yeah, that was a really fun wedding. We did that up in Auburn, New York on the Lake Awaska, right? Or Awaska?
Awasco Lake.
Awasco Lake.
Correct. It's one of the bigger lakes.
My memory's really good.
That's good, yeah. It's beautiful, beautiful spot. Emerson Park is where the venue was, and it was very good. Beautiful. Beautiful day. Beautiful people. It was awesome.
Except for Weinstein. Weinstein was the ugliest one there, but
man, is he ever. How's that coffee, Doc?
It's good, dude. What was that? Oh, we got Cody Marshall joining in. I'm drinking some cinnamon roll coffee here. This is a different vibe here for the old Duck of Dialogue.
That's it, man.
Cody Marshall, connected to audio.
What's up, guys?
I hear you, brother. We are recording here, just so you know. So we are aware.
We're live.
We're live.
Cool. I'm on my trike.
Nice.
Dude, we're just cruising the streets, man.
That's it. That, awesome. I like it. Oh, he's muted. He's muted himself. He's getting ready. He's rocking.
That's all right. Yeah. We're good. Almost there. But yeah, the Weinstein wedding was a success, and it was a very good time.
I enjoyed it. So Cody Marshall here was in the infantry in 132 infantry up at Fort Drum, New York. He was in my platoon when I was in Afghanistan. I was his medic in Afghanistan. Good to see you, bro.
Good to see you, brother. The manimals.
The manimals. What? So let's talk about the military a little bit, man. Like, what made you join the military when you become an infantryman?
The word propaganda. I just wanted to, you know,
that was, I looked at it as that was my war, you know, as a young kid, first of all. And then,
hold on, you're coming in pretty low.
Sorry.
I wanted to see what was going on. I wanted to see what my war looked like.
And so,
I keep losing you, bro. You keep popping in and out. Do 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 do.
There he is. He's back.
I see your face. We're having some technical difficulties here with Cody Marshall's setup here.
Can you hear us, Cody?
Yeah, he can hear. I think he can hear us. I think because you're on a tricycle trying to ride through the neighborhood.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you can't see him, he is shaking his head.
Yeet. So funny.
It's all right. We're going to get there, but.
Ooh. But yeah, so he was in Bravo Company with me. He said the Manimals, that was what we called our platoon. We were in the Logar province in a little remote village, and we had some fun there, huh? I can't hear you, but I don't know if you can hear us.
Gonna get
Are you
there.
In Kentucky right now? I can't hear him, but I'm going to assume he's in Kentucky. Oh, I can hear you now a little bit.
All right. You're tapping. Yeah.
There
I got
we go.
You. I got you.
Throw those sons of bitches.
Let's ride, boys.
Let's go.
I can't wait to just go.
Right? So you're taking a little journey across the country, huh?
Yeah. I'm going to do a bicycle tour of America. I'm going to do the southern route. Want to go in the desert. Link up with, go over to Oregon. I love the Pacific Northwest, and Oregon's just kind of like the best spot for me. Yeah.
Dude, you are having troubles there with that setup going on.
Dude, it's like ape hangers, and like my wheels keep coming off the ground like it's a tricycle, you know?
Mm. You got a place you can stop and post up or what?
Yeah.
Post up, baby. Get still. We got wind in the background. You're good now. You're good now. You're coming in good. You're coming in solid.
Yeah, I was trying to get away from the building.
I got you.
My neighbors.
So
yeah, I'm going to, I plan on crossing the country in 60 days, maybe 70, because I have a dog and a trailer.
And you're taking them with you?
Yeah, and he's about 55 pounds, 60 pounds right now.
So what's the point of going cross country? What's your goal for this? What are you doing it for? And we lost him again. He's still. Dave's still too.
What was that last part?
So what's the goal? So you're going across country on a bicycle.
Yeah.
You're set to leave here in a couple months. And what are you trying to do?
I'm trying to cross country in 60 days with a vintage bike, a 1984 bike. That's it. I just want to cross the country in 60 days. And then like all the magic's going to happen. Like all the people, the amazing experiences that you have on these types of journeys. That's mm-hmm. just going to kind of happen, you know, like, and so like, I'm looking forward to that, but my goal is to cross the country in 60 days. And I want to kayak the Mississippi in December. I want to go from the top down to Mardi Gras in February and like kind of hitchhike into town and like give away my kayak, you know, for like some beer money. And,
there you go.
And hit Mardi Gras. And then maybe do one more long distance hike, and I'm going to focus on a career, probably go into aviation.
I gotcha. So what made you want to do this? What gave you the inspiration?
When I was on the trail, I came across, I was at a hostel in Virginia. It's called Dragon's Tooth. You come off Dragon's Tooth, and there's this like hippie hostel that's amazing down at the bottom. And there was a young couple that was bicycle touring for their honeymoon. And they mentioned, you know, here I am standing in a kilt, you know, smelling like pot and BO with a mohawk. And I hear this couple say that they can cross the country in 60 days. And I'm just like, you know, I've been walking from Georgia for the last 3 months, and like that just stood out to me. And he was like, dude, an average Joe can get one of these bikes, and if it's in good condition with the shifting and, you know, tires and bearings, you can cross country. It's not like, it's not a big deal. And he showed me his bikes, and that just was in the back of my mind, you know, like I've got to, you know, you buy a pair of shoes, you can see part of a country. You buy a bicycle, you can see the whole country. You know, you buy a motorcycle or a car, you can see a couple. And if you buy a sailboat, you can see the world, you know? And so like, I'm just kind of climbing that ladder.
Okay. Yeah, you're a little bit of a vagabond here, aren't you?
Yeah, I want to solo circumnavigate one day.
Man, my wife would kill me if I left for 60 days.
Yeah, man. And like, once you get the freedom, like once Mine you get, once you like turn your back on like the, you know, like you clear off of the grid, or, you know, the wife leaves you or whatever. It's really hard to give up that freedom.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah, she like leaves that. Me. I'm coming to see you. I'm coming to you, bud.
That's what I'm struggling with now is like, I pretty much have a year to do everything I want to do.
Until
I'm
what?
Going to have to give up this freedom.
Okay.
You know, like as far as like taking off and doing long distance shit, you know, and I come across old couples that are like, man, I wish I would have done it at your age. Like you've got it figured out. Like,
yeah.
You know, when I was young, I was too busy, and now I'm too tired, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You might as well. I mean, you know, we did the,
like they're having to stop to use the bathroom
every 5 seconds. Nope. We're losing him again.
That's all right. We'll get him back here.
Yeah, so he did the Appalachian Trails, I think a few times, maybe. Did you do it once or did you do it multiple times?
What's that?
The Appalachian Trail. You did that once or multiple times? How'd that go about?
I did it twice. You know, the Appalachian Trail saved my life. That was something that I was supposed to do when I was like 60, 65. And, I had some bad life, made some bad life choices, and
dang it, I keep losing you.
All right, we're gonna get him.
We're getting him here. He's coming in.
He's coming in.
So you said it saved your life, and that's where we lost you. You said you made some bad life choices, and
yeah, and I was able to do that. You know, I was like, I was drunk. And I packed up my army gear and I like stuck it in the corner and I was like, I'm going to hike the Appalachian Trail. And I just looked at it for like 2 months, you know, and I went out there and like, boy, did I learn real quick that army gear is not for long distance.
Yeah.
And so I did it twice. I did it twice. The first time I made it 1100 miles and I got Lyme disease and I partied too hard and I'd ran out of money, and so I got picked up by the Mason-Dixon, and that was 2017. In 2018, I went back at the very beginning and started over, and I thru-hiked.
So okay.
I've got 3,300 miles.
Dang. How long did that take you?
9 months total, like 3 months in 2017 when I got Lyme disease and partied too hard, and then 6 months in 2018, but I could have got done faster. It's just, you know, once you experience something like that, like at the very beginning, everybody's like, first one to Katahdin wins, which is the last mountain. And then once you like are out into that kind of environment, you're like last one to Katahdin wins. Like, I'm not going to rush back to UPS and, you know, work 12-hour shifts, like, you know, and so you start dragging your feet.
You're like, man, I just want to stay on this trail forever.
Stay
outside forever. That's it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Dave is a big outdoorsman up here. He's always hunting, fishing, doing something.
Huge, man. You remind me of our friend Jason Farney, who was on the show here a couple episodes ago. You know what I mean?
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, he traveled the fucking world, man. He had some crazy job for the Pentagon, and save some money, and he fucking left. He's like, I quit my job for the Pentagon, secret clearance, all this shit, and he's like, fuck it, I'm gone. He goes, I'm never gonna experience it if I don't do it now. Just like you.
Yeah. I mean, like, guys, just to put it in perspective, like, another thing that kicked me into gear was, you know, the Great Barrier Reef getting bleached. You know, like that was on my list, you know, like you know, the Northern Lights might always be there, but like, guys, the world,
we're always going to have solar flares.
yeah, like the Northern Lights will always be there, but like the Great Barrier Reef's gone, and like, we're in a pretty dynamic world right now, and I think we're going to see it get a little bit more dynamic. I mean,
Yeah. So basically, I mean, not everything's guaranteed, and you want to make sure you do the things that are on your bucket list or whatever, you know, you goals you want to accomplish before you're too old and can't do it.
That brings me up to a good point. Like the shoes that I've been wearing for this last 180 miles for this charity ride are blown apart. They've been blown apart. They were blown apart before the charity, like September ever started. Like just falling apart, dude. And I'm going to start my through hike with them. And I just want to point out to people that like, you don't need everything to be perfect to go and do it. You just need to go and do it. You don't need it.
Cause it's never going to be a time when it's,
you
perfect.
Don't always need. Exactly, man. And like when people start stressing out that, my shoes are falling apart every 5 minutes and I need to send him money or like, you know, whatever. I'm going to pull out a brand new pair of Brooks. I'm going to have a brand new pair of Brooks in my trailer, but I'm just not going to wear them. I mean, like, because they're not going to make a difference. My feet's going to hurt the first week to the first, second week, no matter if I have good shoes on, bad shoes.
Your whole body's going to hurt, man. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. I just need to drink water like Duffney used to make me and, you know, keep on.
So what charity, said it's a charity. It's a charity ride, right?
Yeah. It's.
Oh, you froze
on us. Good. When it's getting good, man.
I know.
Gosh, darn it.
We lost you, bro. So
has he started this ride yet? Go.
I don't think he started yet.
It's called the Great Cycle Challenge.
Okay, hold on. There you go. We got your back.
So is this a solo thing that you're doing for charity, or is there other people that are involved with you throughout the?
No. Like, I lost my dad to cancer, and I know
people have cancer. Hold on. Get closer to the mic here. Yeah, you're
closer. I gotta listen to this. Yeah, it's windy. There he is. There, that's better.
There you
guys,
go.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry, man.
Guys, I'm sorry. So like, you know, there was some kids in high school that found out in high school they had cancer, and then like I know a few kids that have it now, and my dad passed away a few years ago from it. And so I was just on Facebook, which is kind of new to me. I've taken a few year break. So like it's like an odd thing to me, but
yeah, listen, man,
I was on
Facebook
and I came across.
I don't have any social media, so I feel you. I get you.
Dang it.
I shouldn't have talked. We're getting back to you now. We're back.
There you go.
And so like I came across it and I was just like that Appalachian Trail. I was like, I'm going to fucking bike 500 miles. I didn't even have a bike, you know? And man, that's been a learning curve.
So wait, but, you came across a group on Facebook that the charity group and.
Well, yeah, I just came across like their charity thing. And it's like one of the more well-known ones. It's for the Childhood Cancer Research Fund.
Okay. Dang it, boy. We keep losing you. Right when you're getting good here.
I know. Every time. I'm right at the edge of my seat.
I'm like,
fuck.
Hey, all right.
He's coming back into it. There he is.
There we go.
Childhood Cancer Research is where we're at right now.
Yeah. And you can pick your own mileage. I wish I would have done 400, but I fucking did 5. And I maxed out the donation. So, like, 26 is, like, the maximum. And I was like, well, that's not on me. So, it's, like, on my buddies. I never ask for help. So, I'm going to ask for help. And the people that I know can give it, I'm going to fucking delete them. If they don't donate $2 to childhood cancer.
Listen, but
like so, I'm gonna I'm going to pick my friends for real. I'm going to thin my friends for real.
So are you, hold on. Are you in route right now or what? Like what's, you keep cutting in and out. So we're trying to figure out, you know, it sounds like you have two different things going on. You have that 500 mile trip for charity and then you're planning one across the country. Is that right?
We'll get them back.
We'll get them back. He's trying to find a good spot there. Yeah, or what?
He's getting better reception here.
Yeah.
That's better.
So I'm at my apartment building and I'm going to keep it while I'm gone. So I'll be paying rent while I'm gone. It's nice. It's through the VA. I'm really thankful for it.
Nice.
I got in trouble the other night. I kind
of. Damn it. We keep losing you, man. Dang signal. But yeah, we're trying to figure out what's going on with old Cody Marshall here. He's riding a bicycle around, trying to raise some money for some cancer research, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. And on Wednesday, guys, any donation made on Wednesday gets doubled. It gets, what do they call it? It gets matched.
Okay. So you were talking though. Now we're doing two separate things here, cross country and then a 500 miler. Steven was asking here beforehand.
Yeah, I was going to double dip. You know, I was going to do two things at one time.
I like two things at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Like if anything, I'm going to be riding across country for father's rights.
Okay. You know,
there we go.
I've been taken advantage of, and it's really made me. It's really pushed some. I mean, I don't know. It's dangerous how you could push a man by taking his kids and keeping them from him. And I'm a great dad, and I love my kids, and I haven't been able to talk to them in 2 years. I mean, my only option is to call the police and pretty much have them. You know, their life's interrupted. It's a Mormon thing. Like, I'm not anti-Mormon. I'm just saying, like, they're like keeping them in their little bubble.
Okay, I didn't know that was going on with you, man. So, didn't realize that.
Yeah, man. Not even nothing. And you know, she calls me a narcissist, and I'm just like, what kind of Twilight Zone am I in?
Yeah. So you haven't seen your kids in a couple of years? Are you able to talk to them at all?
I haven't even been able to talk to them, bro. And I'm pretty sure that she lost them.
Dang, you're cutting out again, man. You gotta stay still. That signal's traveling around.
Here I am assuming that she has it. And come to find out, I don't think she has had my kids in over a year.
So you think she got hurt?
Really, it was a jarring experience, man, to realize that I was trusting my ex-wife and I should never trust anybody without like making sure, you know? And you know what I mean? I was taking it for granted.
So what happened there? Like how did that situation come to be? I mean, and anything you don't want to talk about, you don't talk about it, but
no, it's just like I'm kind of uncertain, but man, the rabbit hole goes deep, you know. Man, I can't really speak on it though, but it goes deep.
Right.
Like it, yeah. You know, videos and stuff like that, and like it just keeps going, bro.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, we'll leave it there and let's talk about this cancer research. Let's get back to biking, all right?
Yeah.
So stay still so we keep your signal in and we get your audio. we want to kind of get this figured out because we're trying to piece this together because you keep cutting in and out. You're doing two different bike trips, right? One of
So I signed up for a charity. I'm signed up for a 30-day challenge in the month of September, you know, to bike 500 miles. But, you know, I chose that. As my goal,
and to raise as much money as possible. I've raised a couple hundred, and I've got 160 miles so far. Now, I'm taking off for a 60-day tour across country. It could be in September or not. I wanted it to be in September. I kind of got in trouble. I kicked two doors in, and so I'm waiting for, like, the statement of charges. And then I can go.
Listen, man, this is one of our most honest guests we've ever had on here. I want to let you know right now. You're a good dude, man. You're a fucking good dude. Now, the charity that you got going on, you said you lost your father to cancer.
Yeah.
And it, was it a specific cancer you were talking about? That's not what I thought we were getting to.
Yeah, it was lung cancer.
Lung cancer, man. Listen, I lost my mother to lung cancer. Never smoked a day in her life. She's been gone 15 years now. So I feel you.
Yeah.
But that's the other charity you're doing the 30-day for, 500-mile?
Yeah, well, see, I did it for it's for childhood cancer.
And, that's what it was, yes.
But as far as, like, having cancer touch me, you know, like, close, you know, it was my dad.
Yep, absolutely.
You know.
So, yeah, listen, tell us where to donate, and I'll send the $2, man. We'll become friends. How about that?
Yeah.
What's that?
When you're done, we need the link so that we can, you know, get it out there and all that and donate.
All right. When we're done with this. It's the Great Cycle Challenge. I'll send you all the link. And, you know, let everybody know any dollar made on Wednesday, it will be matched. And so that will get me closer to the goal.
That's okay. It.
What's the goal?
My goal is 2,600, but, you know, like, I can't make that happen. You know, I can help it happen, but, you know, that's kind of up to the people.
I think getting your message out there and you doing what you're doing, you can help, get to that goal.
If everybody donates $3, we'll have it.
Yeah.
I really should if you want to be my friend, it's going to be $3.
Yep. That's it. Maybe what he was talking about, you know, he's going to wean his friends out depending on what the donation is going to be. If you don't donate.
I don't want you around me. If you can't donate. St. Jude's.
Love it.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, man. Good energy. My karma's through the roof.
I can tell, Cody, man, you are fucking ball of fire. I love it, man. An honest guy. An honest guy.
And, man, when I get out on the road and I'm pursuing something, you know, this is me stagnant. I can't wait for the transformation.
Yeah. Once you get a goal that you're focused on and, you know, you can, you know, do that every day and immerse your life into that.
I'm gaining weight and I'm shredding. Like, I'm making building lean muscle pretty. I mean, dude, riding a bicycle is amazing for your body. Like,
oh yeah,
dude, I got muscles on my ribs.
Yeah,
like my ribs have muscles.
That's a nice core workout, is what it is.
Yeah.
Low impact is exactly what it is.
Yeah, yeah. That's really what I'm after. I'm really after, like, I want to be flexible. And, you know, I don't want to be in pain at 65.
I can tell you Duff's going to be in pain at 65.
Oh, I'm definitely going to be in pain at 65. Are you still in Kentucky? Where are you?
I'm in Lexington.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go there right after the military or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we built a little farm down here in Boyle, down in Danville, and I haven't had a place since 2016 was the last time I had a place before this. I've just been thrifting, you know, wearing a kilt and couch surfing.
So what led into that? Why did that come to be, or was that, you know, after the military, did you do another deployment, or did you one deployment?
I did two tours. My second tour was in Kandahar with all that heroin. which was ironic because it like saved my squad. But then I come back and my buddies are dying from it because we stepped on it. I made a
wait, start again. You said where all that what was?
All the poppy, the world's poppy fields, the 40 mile by 100 mile poppy field, you know, IED capital of the world for the Army. And so very quickly, I made an SOP of stepping on, because I walked point for the squad, and stepping on the poppy. I mean, they don't put the bombs under the fucking poppy. It's fucking easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it saved all of us. Like, we didn't, you know, my 7-man element didn't lose a limb. And that's not very easy to say of that tour. You know, you're talking about hundreds of amputees. And then I come home and my two buddies are dying from the same plant, you know, and it's supposedly getting, you know, my enemy closer to his Lord. I mean.
So when you say your buddies, like you got buddies that are on opioids or hooked on it?
Yeah. They had died. They had died while I was deployed that second tour. Same plant. It was before the fentanyl. It was just heroin.
Okay.
But they were mixing it with Xanax.
Damn. So while you were deployed, you had buddies back here that were overdosing on, like, military buddies or just civilian friends?
Yeah, I mean, like, no, it was civilian friends, high school buddies. But, like, how is that not a coincidence that we're going through a heroin epidemic while occupying 90% of the world's heroin? I mean.
Oh, dude, no. Exactly.
I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, how can I not be, like, you know, it's not in the caskets anymore. I'd say it's in, like, the contractors, you know, civilian contractors. But
when you look at the statistics, Afghanistan exported less than 1% of the world's opium supply prior to us.
Invading. Yeah, it's Pakistan.
Now it's 90%. Now it's 90%.
Yeah. And it's Pakistani. I mean, like, you see it when they harvest it, you know, 1,000 men from that you've never seen before, you haven't seen all year, I mean, wearing black man jams, all of them, come in and they harvest it for like the next 4 weeks and they take it back.
Yeah.
And like Vice has a really cool episode of, it's very, you know, it's on the Pakistani border. It's on the Khyber Pass, like one of the most famous passes in the Himalayas. And they drive by this dude's palat, which is a building from the Middle East. It's kind of like a
mud
every
structure.
Every man has a castle, you know.
Yeah.
This palat is like half a mile. And they look over at him and they go, this guy, he made the idea heroin. Like, he's known as the guy who created the idea of even heroin. Like he's the guy, you know, like, he's the motherfucker guy. Like, he's the one that nobody knows. He's like the guy from Blow.
George Young.
El Padrino or whatever. Like, he's the dude.
Oh, I gotcha. Yep.
Yeah, and like, nobody knows how much money he has. And Russia's going through it too. You know, that's why they got into that crocodile, was the heroin ran out. Like, they believe, you know, if someone's trying to infringe upon you and your freedom as a man, you can take that, which he shouldn't be fucking with, and use it against him to destroy him. You know, in other words, you can sell your enemy something and use the money to buy weapons to destroy them, and you'll get closer. It's like it's kind of like what I'm doing with this charity. It's like double dipping, you know, like
combat multiplier. Okay, so your second deployment was pretty rough, huh? I wasn't sure if you went on that. Were you with 132 again, or did you?
Yeah, I was in 132. I got moved over to the dog company towards the end. I was a sergeant, and they needed some NCOs. You know, you remember how we stopped wearing uniforms and shaving and just like became wild men for a minute?
Yeah. We were like Lord of the Flies, dude.
Yeah. Well, that was happening to dog.
you know.
Okay.
And so they had to bring me in.
Oh, they didn't want, like, they didn't like, want that.
Like you show up and like privates are like throwing machine guns on the floor, like, fuck you, you know.
Damn.
Yeah. Because they had just seen some shit, man.
What did they go through? What happened to the dog company before that?
You know, like their squad leader, you know, dog company was the element that, you know, you would go outside in a 7 to 9 man element. And, you know, one of those is a medic, one of those is an RTO, one of those is your squad leader. So 7 to 9 men, you're now down to 4 to 6. And you only got, you know, maybe one, maybe 2 machine guns. And they weren't shooting at you like up north where they would want to fight you. Down south, like you'd be walking across the, an empty field, flat as can be. And there'd be one wall in the middle of it. And they would shoot at you near that wall. Not because they were trying to hit you. They wanted you to get behind that wall. The whole wall was lit up with explosives. The whole fucking wall. Or like, you know, the one ditch in the field.
And they knew you were going to go to that spot to hide.
Yeah. Yeah. So like
get cover.
So like dog was the company that, you know, they hid an IED. I remember hearing this on the radio and it still gives me goosebumps, but they hid an IED in like an 8 man element. It was the squad leader plus another guy. So they're down, you know, everything pretty much. And they picked them up, throw tourniquets on him. And the squad leader was a triple amputee. Pick him up, throw 3 tourniquets on him, move 50 meters and hit another IED. And we're talking about 7. We're talking about 7 men. And that happened more than once. You know, the first, I don't want to misquote, but like the first 100 days was quite a bit of casualties. And we're not talking about gunshot wounds.
You're talking about all IEDs.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about triple, quadruples. We were really good at saving lives, though.
Damn. Yeah, I know, like, that deployment was rough, man. And
yeah, well, and, like, you couldn't fight them, bro. Like, you know, they weren't fighting. And so there was no revenge to be had.
Mm.
You were literally just walking around getting fucked up. And then sitting still, mad, for months at a time, waiting for another chance.
Yeah.
There was no, like, it was a really weird deployment, you know.
Yeah, it was a lot different than the one that we were at because they were fighting us every day, you know, ambushing us and control and complex ambushes, stuff like that, you know. And so.
And see, like, in this spot, they had deserted the building, so almost all of them were abandoned. Mm. It was where the Taliban first got started. And anyways, they would put a hubcap, a Toyota hubcap, over the IED, and then the mud on top of the hubcap, and like you could watch the women and children and the big men, the biggest man around, walk on this thing, and it wouldn't crush that hubcap. But Sergeant Marshall, 185-200, with 100 pounds of body armor, and he steps on it, he's gonna crush that hubcap. And it was like, so you couldn't even pay attention to where they were walking. There was IEDs.
Oh my God. So they had it to where
they figured out low metal and no metal. So they had low metal and no metal IEDs that your metal detector would miss. Then they had the pressure IEDs, which they would take the hood spring of a Toyota Camry.
Hold on. You're coming in a little muffled. I think your hand's over the mic.
They would take the hood spring of a Toyota Camry or the hubcap. And literally, the biggest man around, you know, he could be 6'4", 6'5". He'd be lucky to weigh 160 because of malnutrition. And so they could step on this dude all day. I mean, you couldn't even pay attention to where they were walking. It was sick.
That's crazy. So you're watching the civilians walk over the same spot. Like, okay, it's safe to walk there, but you have the extra weight on. So when you step over it, you guys are getting blown up.
Yeah. Yeah. The average American with 100 pounds on them is going to crush that hubcap. And that's when I was like, I don't, you know, the farmers would freak out if you would step on the poppy. But that's when I was like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I was supposed to be in the middle, and I walked point instead because I was the only one that had really been shot at. I didn't trust these 18-year-old kids to, like, look at the metal detector, find the way we're supposed to go, look for the enemy, you know?
You're doing like, all that shit?
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, I had my sister got this church from Texas to send, like, a ridiculous amount of baby powder and magazines.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually getting in trouble because people weren't getting mail for like 2 weeks because I was the one getting all the mail. Just, yeah, the whole fucking helicopter. But anyways, we had so much baby powder that I walked point as the squad leader instead of in the middle, and I had a metal detector, and every 50 feet I would just take that baby powder out of my cargo pocket and hit the sides of my legs, and I was like, stay in the fucking baby powder and you're good. And that's what we did. You know,
that's
every
smart,
50
dude.
Feet, I would just mark it. Yeah. And so they could watch the horizon and watch, you know, for the enemy and still stay in the path.
Interesting. You got trained well, my friend. You were trained well. I like it. Well, so, and then you got back from that deployment. And you went back to, you got out right after that?
Yeah, I had a year to get out. And I transitioned, you know, I trained some guys before I left and I transitioned and I was super motivated, signed up for UK. I signed up for genetics and biotech. And man, I was working at a sustainable slaughterhouse / butchery or packaging facility, and that's kind of what I wanted to go into, was sustainable agriculture. And
okay.
I was working 70 hours a week with the family and going to UK, and I just couldn't make it work. So I went into the trades and I started building power lines. I went to climbing school, graduated climbing school, build power lines, but I built the real big ones, the ones that like they power your whole city.
Okay. They're like big transformers.
Yeah, they're called transmission, but yeah.
Okay.
And, man, you're talking about a wild bunch of guys, bro. And,
oh dude, yeah.
You know. Dude, it don't matter if you have nuclear energy or coal or natural gas, electricity goes the same wire. So job security. You can't just like make up a new, you know, it don't matter how you make the electricity. So like the same dude, you know, and you can't get a robot to do this shit, and you cannot go off the street and find somebody that'll go 200 foot up in there and mess with 138,000 volts. Like, and so like when our witness statements or our, you know, official statements or whatever, you know, whatever they called it, like, you know, like, was it a witness statement? Like when I shot all those donkeys?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Witness statement. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Remember that time?
All right. Well, so like when you come out in the middle of the Daniel Boone and, you know, you're like, what happened? And we tell you what happened. You're just going to take our word for it. Like, dude, a tight bunch of guys. Tight bunch of guys. Like, I felt like a military dude.
Hold on, we're losing you.
I felt like I was in the military again. I went
okay.
Union. I went Union, made the transition to Union, which is like once in a lifetime thing. And then, you know, she took off on me just out of the blue, and I couldn't go home to an empty house. So I got three DUIs. I got three DUIs in three different states in 60 days.
So did she give you any heads up? Or you just got home for one day?
No, she took off. So I was 8 hours behind her. I was in Indiana. So I was on the road. I finished on Thursdays. And she took off. So I get off at 5 on the dot. She took off at like 8 that morning. And then she didn't tell me until 5. So, like, we had the close of business meeting
And I looked down and she's like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm gone. I got the kids. Don't come and make it, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she didn't tell me until she was on the road for like 10 hours. So it's like, she was 18 hours ahead of me, you know?
Damn.
And it was like Halloween and I just was in an empty house, man. And, you know, dad,
you face, you keep cutting out, like we can barely hear you when you turn your head. There you go.
I couldn't do the empty house, man. And so, like, damn, you know, I got 3 DUIs in 3 different states in 60 days. And I had a commercial license, you know, so like just one is a year, 2's for life. They were all parked. So I have 4 DUIs and they're all parked.
Damn.
Yeah.
You just what, pulled over and passed out?
Well, like one time I pulled over and got stuck in wet grass, right? And so like I set an alarm for when the tow truck opened, which was 6, and I got woken up. And then once I was throwing rose petals on a naked girl while dancing around a Jeep. So I got a car wash. And then one was like an illegal seizure of a pound of pot. They like straight pulled me over, act like it was a hit and run. I was like, no, I'm just waiting for my food to get brought out, like a car to go or whatever. And they're like, you think that's a coincidence? Blah, blah, blah. They pulled a pound of pot out of my car. It was right before I went to the trail. And
damn.
Yeah, they took me in for a DUI and they kept the pound. And he whispered in my ear when he walked me in the door, is, by the way, there was no hit and run reported. And so.
He said there wasn't a hit and run reported. He just was fucking with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they knew my car smelled like it. They probably had a dog running it. It's where all the state troopers get trained in the state of Kentucky. It's like you know, their stronghold, you know.
Is it illegal in Kentucky still? Marijuana?
Dude, we can't even say bong in a head shop yet. We still have to say water pipe.
Oh,
tobacco pipe.
Tobacco pipe.
Like when the end of the world happens, go to Kentucky. It's whatever happens to the world happens 20 years later in Kentucky.
All right.
Dude.
Matt was just talking about that at the wedding in New Jersey. They just opened their first head shop up there.
That's crazy.
Packed. And like, right, we were just in Arizona, in May?
Yeah.
Months ago. And Matt was saying, he's like, man, they are fucking light years ahead of anything over here.
Mm-hmm.
East Coast right now. Anywhere.
So, guys, I'm down to like 3%. I'm going to have to move to fix that.
You're good, man. We're
this has been a fucking mind-blowing experience, Cody, dude. Honest to God.
We'll have to get you back on here when you can actually have a place to sit still and have a decent signal and stuff.
Yeah, bro. Absolutely. I really love what you guys are doing and keep doing it for real.
Well, thanks, you keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep fucking getting your name out in the world.
If we can just make it easier for idiots like me to not like get kicked back in and forth and like the mute, like once y'all get the idiots handled, man, y'all got something here.
Dude, and that's I'm part of the idiots, so
yes.
I'm part of that. But that's kind of the goal, is to get guys on here that, you know, everyone has a story and everyone has shit going on. And I want to, you know, connect back with a lot of you guys. And I think that opening a dialogue and discussion and seeing other people that we know, you know,
not fucking famous people, man.
Yeah.
We want average Joes like you, me, and Duff. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what we need.
And then you can see, like, dude, everyone's kind of has the same problems, has the same issues, like
struggles,
you know,
everything.
So,
yeah, bro, fucking the discussion, though, like you said, the discussion needs to happen.
Yeah.
So, Cody, make sure we get that link. Text Steven that link, because I'm going to be your $3 friend, bro.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, guys, for real.
Hey, listen,
because, like, I appreciate it for real, guys, because St. Jude's, let me tell you something. It's the one of the few things that, man, I don't think a corrupt thing about it. I really feel like every bit of it is used.
There it is.
There it is.
Little bike.
1984 Centurion.
We're going to make it happen, baby.
Bought it from a Scottish guy in Tennessee.
All right, hey, we're gonna end it here because Cody's phone's about to die. Dude, send us that link.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna get him back on here when we can get him a little more clear. Maybe I'll have to go to Kentucky and nab him up.
I think we will. We'll be on the road by then, though. We'll find you on the road.
But again, we're here with Dave Wright, Steve Duffy, and our special guest here, Cody Marshall, baby. Go duck yourselves, guys.
All right, man.